Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He won a draw there that sets up Rasmus Dahlin after a couple of passes to blast one home to make it 1-0. Sabres get it ahead. Here's Costa Hellenius with Mertka. Takes the pass. Scores! Hellenius to Mertka.
Josh Norris won this back clean. Cage Thompson gets it. Takes the quick shot.
Here's some nice puck movement. And Norris, if his feet weren't so big. And a feed from Alex Tuck. Sabres with a chance now. Norris has an empty net, and he does not make it. 5-2, Buffalo with 12.5 seconds to go on the Norris empty netter.
Another home preseason win for the Sabres on Saturday. Final home preseason game here at KeyBank Center tomorrow, and you'll see it on MSG, beginning with pregame coverage at 6:30. Ryan Johnson is with us to kick off a brand new week here on Sabres Live. Ryan, how you doing? It's been, I would say, a good camp for you so far.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Doing well. Thanks for having me on, and yeah, it's excited to still be here.
Any advice for us? It's our first broadcast of the season, and you know, like you've had your first preseason
tomorrow
game.
Tomorrow night.
Yes. Yeah, but you've had your first preseason game, so you know, like it's always about, oh, what do I do at this time? So, what would you say your best advice for us to have our first broadcast of the year tomorrow night? You know, coming from you.
You guys are veterans. You guys got experience. Stop worrying about it. You got it. I'm the newer guy.
Just for the record, I have not been worrying about this, but Marty's obviously trying to get us fired up.
I always feel like, okay, what do I do? How do I take my notes? What website do I have open? Like,
well,
what information do I need to be able to paint the picture? Like, I feel pressure.
There has been an evolution in websites and statistical information at our fingertips. What has been the evolution for you now that it's third-year pro and also three-year contract in hand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, man, first year was really fun. It was good, kind of like this sort of preseason where I was playing games and had a lot of good opportunities, and then got sent to Rochester. Then, obviously, Sammy got hurt, got called up for 40 games and played half the year with Buffalo, which was a great first year. And then, yeah, and then went back to Rochester for the rest of playoffs and the rest of the season. And then being back last year was the quicker camp with going to Europe. Mm-hmm. And I got hurt, too. First preseason game, blocked a shot. Got one of those bullseye shots to the ankle that I couldn't put my foot in my skate. And, yeah, so that kept me out until the start of the regular season for AHL. So being back here for the third year, it's been really nice to feel like you have the opportunity again, where last year felt very short with the going to Europe and stuff, and also being hurt. So, yeah, thankful to be back here and excited for, yeah, just obviously still in training camp, still few more games to play.
And a lot of injuries on the blue line, unfortunately, yep. Right now. Bo Byram's day-to-day. Samuelson's week-to-week. Owen Power didn't skate today. He's day-to-day. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you just navigate the realities of camp and competition?
Yeah, exactly. It's cool because it gives us guys more of an opportunity and look. So just making the most of it and knowing that you have to step in and play some bigger minutes, and it'll be a good test because you'll be able to see, you know, can you play against, you know, now as you get closer to the season, the rosters are getting more refined and mm-hmm. there's more, yeah, it'll be more NHL guys in the roster.
So as you get older, your body matures, like guys get a little bit stronger, a little thicker. But also,
you're very mature.
I'm very mature. I'm still young. Give me another 5 years, Duffer. I'll fill this, you know, quarter zip really good. But also, you talk about blocking a shot yesterday. Yeah. I feel like year after year, guys know, you know, they get a little bigger in the equipment. They add a few pieces of protection here. Have you made some adjustment because of the block shots and because of some of the maybe bruises and bumps that you've gotten over the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's smart. I have not made any adjustments myself. The equipment guys have made adjustments for me. Yeah. So they've put the shot blockers on my skates, the ones that you can glue on.
Yep.
But thinking about getting a visor that goes a little further down, just hear guys talk about things that they're doing. There's the cut resistance stuff, which is not very comfy.
Is it getting better? It is getting better.
Okay. Yeah. But it's just that it's hot to wear a neck guard that thick, and you'd rather just have a free air to blow on your neck. But yeah, I haven't made a ton of adjustments myself.
Neither did he.
you kidding? I made adjustment.
Same
on the
skates.
Daily. Yes, but I always would tweak
more than
things.
500 NHL games, and he's at the same skates.
Oh my gosh.
I gotta bring those in one
gosh.
Time. And I have my pads from my first NHL win, and if I put them next to some of the stuff UPL's wearing, or Lion, or Georgiev, you'd be like, seriously, that's what you guys wore? But I didn't make adjustments. It was just to old gear. I always tweaked about
that's
it.
Cool. Yeah.
So that was the difference. Yeah. You mentioned the visor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, can talk about Kirill Kaprizov. He just signed an 8-year deal, $17 million a year. We'll talk about it later in the show. But he wears his visor way on top. It's almost like he's not wearing any.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're thinking about going like a little longer.
Yeah.
Is there, somebody that's giving you an advice here and there that you can say, hey, you know what, an older guy told me I should wear it a little lower?
Yeah. I just, you know, just hearing the guys in the locker room talk about it, they're just saying like, a lot of them are asking for longer visors because the standard one is like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one will cover more of your nose.
Yeah.
And it's always that rare occasion that you never really expect. And so, but those rare occasions can happen.
Yeah.
So I'm considering it at the end of the day. Like, if it happens, it's happened before and they survived. So,
is it the breathing or the vision the biggest adjustment when you have a shorter or longer visor?
Probably the vision, yeah, because mine's right on my eye line, so I actually prefer it higher up so I can see more of the ice.
Yeah.
Or maybe if there's one lower, it might help eliminate that issue. But then the day, I do like to just be able to see the puck over.
See, Josh Allen puts a visor. Now everybody wants a longer visor. See, that's what's happening. It's all about Josh. That's the way it goes.
Here's one I've never asked before. Sneakers, sandals, or barefoot?
No, barefoot. Easily. And if I had my canes, I'd be wearing them right now. But, I'm going barefoot right now.
First barefoot guest that we've had on the show, to my knowledge. And, of course, you do spend a large majority of the summer in California?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Well,
That all makes sense.
And Minnesota. I know. I didn't want to leave out Minnesota.
Yep.
Remember last year it was Matt Collins with the Bills. He was walking bare feet everywhere. He said it makes him grounded, his connection with planet Earth and everything. Like, I mean, I don't know. Everybody's got their own different ways.
Right.
But we did see you last night, though.
Yeah.
You weren't barefoot last night, but we were at the Miracle League of Western New York.
Fun.
You and your wife were there.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. It was great
yeah.
to see her and being involved. Mm. How do you like doing these type of things? Because that's a unique situation. Mm. You know, we get to play ball with all these kids and older adults, and it was awesome. But how did you like that?
It was so fun. I didn't know that league even existed until I went last night, and just being able to see like all the alumni there was so fun, and meeting the kids and seeing There's one kid, Robbie, who's invited me in, and he wanted me to follow him around the bases, and it was so fun just watching them get so excited to hit, and just us being able to be there with them and celebrate them too was honestly an honor to be
they
there.
They look forward to that day. I'll tell you this. Yeah. Like every year, you know, they play. They have different teams in the summer. They play against each other, whatnot.
It's
but
cool.
They look forward to when the firefighter get there because they bring the trucks and they splash everybody.
That's cool.
Which is awesome.
That's
and so Sabres fun. Night in the Miracle League. So you guys did an awesome job.
Yeah, some great visuals there for those watching on MSG. And obviously you would have seen on Sabres Social and Sabres.com. What do you think it is, Ryan? I know it's never easy to talk about yourself specifically, but what do you think allows you to really connect with people in these moments when you're, you know, at Miracle League, anywhere else in the community?
Yeah, I think for me a big part's like my faith, just being able to share that with others and just love others from that place of knowing how God's loved me and changed my life. I like to just try to be the same that the same way he's treated me. I want to be that to others. And it's so cool seeing even teammates have a tender spot to go out there and just love on these kids who, honestly, yeah, it's not, they're actually, I feel like they're doing more for me and for us, just being able to be there and see how just childlike and free they are, even in the midst of the hard things in their life, just their, whatever it be, their special needs and stuff. So it's just, yeah, so for me, being able to serve is something that, I've learned just from having faith in God.
Did you have any encounter as a kid or as a teenager with athletes that, or, you know, personalities, music or whatnot, that made you realize the impact that they had? I remember taking a picture with Mario Gosselin as a kid. I had two broken arms. I was in two casts, and he looked at me and goes, whoa, he was a tough guy. Like, I came in with both. You know, but he was a goalie for the Nordiques, and I remember having that conversation. I was maybe 11. So did you have any encounters like that with athletes or personalities that you remember really touching you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say I can't think of any like that. I haven't had really any encounters with anyone myself with athlete. Maybe a few couple times going to a baseball game or even actually being in the hockey locker room. Where I knew you kind of look up to these guys, and it's so cool when they take time to spend with you. So I've had a few of those moments, and just for me being with like those kids and seeing them light up when they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's you, Ryan!"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "How do you know? How do you know me?" And it's just so cool being able, and I'd love to just see them over the years too. A couple of them. Where you skate with me at the Saba skate. And I was like, well, it's so cool you remember. And I wish I could just remember their name.
Yeah.
But just seeing their, just how it's community, and just, I love how it's repetitive too. I think you need, it's cool we can be that for these people.
Well, that's a really good perspective on it, because the repetition, it leads to the longevity, which speaks to the Sabres connection on the community side. And it's really cool that you acknowledge that. Wishing you good luck tomorrow night in the final home preseason.
Don't forget your skates tomorrow night. Bare feet may not go well.
Ryan Johnson, our guest here on Sabres Live. Of course, the home opener is coming up rather quickly here at KeyBank Center. It is on October 9th, 7 p.m. against the New York Rangers. Of course, the NHL regular season begins a week from today. How could you forget? We got a 5 p.m. start next Tuesday with the Florida Panthers hosting the Blackhawks. But yes, the Sabres home opener against the Rangers October 9th, sabres.com/tickets. And that is what we're looking forward to. Of course, two preseason games this week, including tomorrow here at home, followed by the Friday preseason finale against the Pittsburgh Penguins, who they'll get a double dose of this week. And obviously, we're looking forward to, seeing how this, Marty, almost uncertainty plays out on the blue line based on Byram, Samuelson, Power, and their current injuries. Now, yes, Byram skated over at Harbor Center today. Seems close in the sense of a day-to-day situation. Samuelson less so, but described as week-to-week yesterday with an opportunity for perhaps still normal activities next week. And then Power, a little bit less clear based on the fact that today was his first day absent from the group. And I know it's not easy I can assume it's not easy to talk about it at length when you're one of the guys trying to jump in and get ice time. But I thought, as we've known Ryan to be, he's a very thoughtful and articulate person and realistic here with the chances that are ahead.
He did say, like, it's cool to get an opportunity. And sometimes you don't get opportunities and you go home and you're like, man, I wish I just had an opportunity. So now it's unfortunate because it's coming from other guys getting injured. But I like his mindset, just saying, I just wanted an opportunity to be able to show it. And that's what's happening for Radim Mertka. He's getting an opportunity. The biggest challenge right now that I see with Byram, Power, and Samuelson not being part of the main group right now is the fact that it's one defenseman on each pairing that we were, you know, projecting going. So what we see at practice today? Well, a little bit of Dahlin and Kesselring.
Yeah, saw that yesterday too.
Saw that yesterday. So now you're kind of, you know, everybody gets moved from where they thought they were going to be to a different partner, to a different responsibility, to playing more power play or more penalty kill, because obviously Power and or Byram were going to see some power play time and maybe some other special team time. So it opens the door for Ryan Johnson, and we mentioned Mertka, for Jacob Bryson to get a better look and a better opportunity to showcase what they've gotten. It will be interesting to see what the next couple of preseason games are going to lead because it's going to lead to because of exactly that. Who's going to be playing with which partner?
Right, and the defenseman turned forward back to defenseman right now. Mason Gjertsen rounded out a group with Sebi Komarov today, but Dahlin Kesselring, Johnson, and Timmins. I mean, even think of it just from the Timmins standpoint. Like, yes, brought in kind of a swap out after having Connor Clifton here before, but you start missing guys on every pairing. If you're a newcomer, I would think you start feeling a little bit more on your plate, not that you don't have enough to begin with. And Bryson obviously has been here so long that it's kind of old hat for him to play up and play bigger minutes. But I don't think he was, and again, this is a very small window and you're not projecting to opening night October 9th just yet. But for Bryson to be paired with a big right shot rookie defenseman in Radim Mertka right now, like that was not how it was drawn up, obviously.
And the taste of camp, Radim Mertka, like, it's great to see him. He scored against Detroit on Saturday afternoon. He had what we thought was a really good game in Detroit, the preseason game before that, where basically did not give anything on the defensive side of the game. He's big. He can skate. He's got some edge to his game.
What'd you like about his Saturday goal?
What I liked about his Saturday goal is how he gathered the puck on the right side, and he comes in one-on-one with the goalie, and the shot fooled the goaltender. Like, Sebastian Coso is thinking, you know, there's this right-handed shot, and he slipped it right underneath the glove. That's a, you know, when you make a goalie like, and Coso is a really higher-end prospect in the Detroit organization. He's been around the pro game now for a couple of years. You know, you make that type of goalie guess or look like, oh, I didn't read it right. That's always a good sign for a shooter. And Mertka coming in, knowing exactly what he wanted to do, joining the rush. I absolutely love that. But right now, the way that you're seeing the roster and the depth chart on defense with the injuries, it's like, oh, Mertka could be in your top four, right? Like, and this is a guy that you drafted in June, and he could be in your top four. So, and you mentioned Bryson. At practice today, they were doing some penalty kill work. They were doing some five-on-five work, and then later in the practice, power plays. But Lindy Ruff was, you know, talking to Bryson a few times, and I heard him do, hey, Bryce, good job closing in there. Like, obviously, he's coaching him up because he knows that there's a chance in 9 days from now that they will need Bryson to be playing a certain role.
So, obviously, with our guest right off the top being Ryan Johnson, heavy emphasis on the defense, which largely has been good as Buffalo's 3-1 in the preseason so far, with two games against Pittsburgh to go, including tomorrow night, which you'll hear on WGR Sports Radio 550 and, of course, catch on MSG. This is our first full production of the year, starting with pregame coverage at 6:30. And then another date with the Penguins on Friday. So, Jiří Kulík returned to practice today.
Yes.
Noah Östlund is out week to week, so unfortunate start for him based on, you know, getting ramped up in the Prospects Challenge and then coming in here, had a goal against Detroit last week. But, you know, and he was skating over at Harbor Center, so it's just a a waiting game for him, while the Amerks, of course, opened camp yesterday and have a five-day run that includes a scrimmage later in the week. So before they start the regular season on Friday, a week from this Friday, on the 10th at home.
Yeah, and you mentioned Noah Oslin. It's unfortunate because, you know, we had a chance to visit with Noah in training camp at the start, and, mm-hmm. you know, you saw him through Prospect Challenge, and I felt like he was getting himself going in the right direction. And week to week, I mean, it could be one week, 10 days, or it could be three or four. You never know with those week to week situation. It's mostly how the body's going to recover and how you're going to be feeling in a little bit. But we're seeing injuries around the NHL right now. Like, it's everywhere. I know that we're going to focus on the Sabres, especially the blue line and what's happening. But it is everywhere right now. You know, JT Miller in New York has a lower body. Zuccarello is going to be out 7 to 8 weeks with a lower body injury. Dylan Sandberg has a broken wrist in Winnipeg. Connor Hellebuck left practice yesterday. He did practice today. You've got injuries everywhere. Everybody's dealing with that right now.
Hoglander's 8 to 10 weeks in Vancouver. Vasilevsky was back on the ice yesterday, so that was skating, and that was an encouraging sign for the Lightning. Rutger McGroarty, I mean, we talk about Pittsburgh for the next two games here. I mean, for all the turnover that they have had and whatever it is specifically that they're embarking upon, which fairly comes with that question right now, because you're still employing Crosby, Malkin, Letang, right?
Yes.
And it's the constant, well, like, how much deeper are they going into a rebuild? How much are they maybe changing course to try to give Sid every possible chance to get back in the playoffs this year? Anyway, McGroarty was supposed to be a pretty significant piece of mm-hmm. the youth. He's been out he remains out indefinitely. So these are the frustrations that come, but
I have a question for you, Duffer.
Yes, sir.
Because we have Pittsburgh coming up tomorrow and Friday, and Barkov is out in Florida, and Montreal is apparently looking for a second line center, and everybody's talking about Sidney Crosby. Where is he going to go? Is he going to finish in Pittsburgh or not? And what's the likelihood of Evgeny Malkin finishing the season in Pittsburgh, you think?
Zero.
I am so on board with you with that. I think there is going to be 10 teams at the very least that will call Pittsburgh and will want to make a trade, not in March or February at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. They may be looking in November and December to add a guy like Evgeny Malkin. I think Malkin is about as gone.
I think he's a deadline-only move.
Maybe.
But Crosby is the bigger story, without question. Has anything changed on how you feel about that? And
no, there's... I just don't.
Because Montreal is the literal perfect scenario for him.
Yeah, or Colorado. I mean, at some point, it's a little tighter, obviously, with with their cap situation. But everybody's been talking about McKinnon and Crosby.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about the cap. I'm just thinking, you know.
Everybody's got money. Everybody can make it.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, you're trying to get Sid Crosby, like. You're going
to
make room.
What about
Sid
to L.A.? I mean, everybody knows it's Anze Kopitar's last season. And, you know, we mentioned Connor McDavid, you know, where that's going to go. But Sid could be a guy that is, like, going to say, hey, how about L.A.? And L.A.'s going to be, in my opinion, a team that still has a ton of prospects. They're going to be good. I think there's opportunities. Whatever Sid Crosby wants to do. Mm-hmm. He can make it happen with Montreal or Colorado or LA or Vegas or whatever. I just don't think he leaves Pittsburgh.
Well, we're going to get into the enormous precedent-setting contract of Kirill Kaprizov after the break. It's massive. It's surprising. I mean, after all this time, for a player to take $1 million a year in annual salary, that's pretty interesting. And that's actually true, but it's a bonus-heavy deal.
He's only making $1 million. That's a bargain.
8 years. Who knew?
Who knew?
The Wild could negotiate him down to this level. But anyway, we'll talk about that and all the other signings that have happened since last Friday, because we are starting to see some dominoes fall and wonder just how much more. But real quick, just on the Sabres before we take the break. With the forwards now.
Yes.
And Yuri back today. He's back where you would expect, with Quinn on one side and Doan on the other. But most importantly, what we saw on Saturday in the matinee win over the Red Wings was the continued use of Thompson with Norris and Benson,
yes.
And of course Tuck returning to action very quickly from a forward standpoint. Your takeaway from Saturday?
My takeaway from Saturday is that I think what Lindy Ruff is building right now is something that I believe would be a very solid top nine, but everybody with a different look. It's not trying to put a line on the ice and everybody can fill the same role. I think that Thompson, Norris, and Benson definitely have to lead the offense. That's their job, and they have to play against potentially the other team's top line and being able to win that battle. But you can always rely on Zucker, McLeod, and Tuck to maybe, at home, have a matchup advantage. Say, you guys are going to go against the Sidney Crosby line, or the Artemi Panarin line, or the Austin Matthews line, or whatever, and freed up Thompson. The wild card, and I have liked that line now for a little bit, and I didn't think it was going to be a line, is Quinn, Doan, and Yuri Kulik. I watched Quinn again at practice today. I'm telling you, Duffer, 30 goals is where I think it's the minimum. He is shooting the puck well. He's handling the puck well. I think he gets 30 this year.
Can we get Marty back on camera before we take the break and just show that he was serious?
I'm dead serious. 30 goals for Jack Quinn this year. Even the power play. Like, he had a couple of one-timers on the power play from the left flank today. I'm looking at Jack Quinn and the confidence and how he is on the ice. I think this will be a great season. And with Yuri and Doan, they remember last year we had so much fun watching Celebrini and Will Smith on the bench laughing and joking. And they were terrible in San Jose, the team. But these two were fun to watch. I look at Kulik and Doan and Quinn, and I see that same, like, fun, Utah-y excitement in their game. And I think Jack Quinn, 30-plus goals.
You have no idea how happy that prediction has made me. So, I'm serious. And I'm not saying that you've traditionally been a sit-on-the-fence guy, but this was a bold statement on your part, and I'm here for it. And they're not far removed from college age, these kids that you're speaking of. In fact, if they were going that route, they'd still be playing there. And we are calling on college students right now because the Sabres are offering a special offer for students on Monday through Wednesday, home games throughout the season. Tickets start at just $20 using a college email address. Visit sabres.com/tickets to get yours today. Kaprizov, Stolarz, McTavish, Fowler. On and on the list goes as far as signings across the league as we get closer to the start of the regular season.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Mamma mia, here I go again. Mamma mia, how can I resist you? Mamma mia, does it show again? Mamma, just how much I missed you. Yeah.
So
Sorry, I'm not that familiar with this open. This is the part where I start talking. This way, okay. My mic had to split, so I'm stuck with Paul and his vacuum cleaner stories, I guess, is what I've got here. Not to tee Paul up. There's a lot of hockey stuff to get to here. The regular season is closing in fast, right? A week from Thursday, we got a couple of more preseason games coming up this week. Wednesday, home to Pittsburgh. Friday, in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. And then and it's the Rangers on opening night. Paul, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. I've not talked to you since last week, early last week. We had a kind of a downer of a game in Detroit, and then I guess kind of the reverse, right? 5-2 both games, if I'm not mistaken. A loss there, and then a win on Saturday afternoon. I don't know. What is there to take away from the games that have been played so far as you're concerned?
Well, it went along what we usually see in preseason. The home games is made up of mainly the NHL team, and in Detroit Buffalo's case, it happened in both games. The Red Wings, in their win, basically had their lineup, and the Sabres basically had the Rochester Americans playing, and then here in Buffalo, it was the Sabres against Grand Rapids. So, you know, and that's usually the way it goes, and I think that's what we're going to see coming up with the Penguins. I mean, I'd be shocked if we see a representative lineup by the Penguins tomorrow, and then I would be shocked if we saw a representative lineup by the Sabres on Friday in Pittsburgh. So, you know, this is the game tomorrow, I think, for the Sabres, for the real Buffalo Sabres to get ready. I don't think too many will be in the Friday game. And except for Luukkonen, it sounds like Luukkonen is going to be in net for both games. The question is, tomorrow, is he going to play the whole game or is he going to play 40 minutes? Lindy Ruff said today that he wasn't quite sure yet. It was something they were still going to talk about after he's spoken to us. That's the way he did in the first start with the goalies.
Gorgiev and Lyon played two periods, and then Levi took over, right?
Right. In their first game, they played 40, and Levi played the final 20, and then in their second start, they played the whole game. So I bet that's probably what happens. I think you might see Luukkonen for 40 tomorrow, and then on Friday, you might see him for the full 60.
How has he looked to you in these practices since he's been back, Luukkonen?
Fine. Yeah, no, doesn't look like he's struggling at all. You know, practicing fully. Or as fully as you can when there's three goaltenders out there. And, he looks fine, says he's fine.
Three goalie thing there.
It doesn't seem like there's any problem at all.
Sorry, I'm muttering under my breath here. There's the three goalie thing again, Paul. They're not going to do this again, are they?
Yeah, they are.
They are? Said that?
No, they are. I mean, what are they going to do?
Send Georgiev down. If he gets claimed, go find another Georgiev. I don't know.
They're worried about him getting claimed, but he's not going to sit there and back up Levi.
Oh.
I mean, it's just they're going to do it. I know they are. I mean, and Lindy's not real happy about it either. I mean, Lindy said, acknowledged that I understand that there's a chance we're going to have to do it, but he's not a fan. I remember last time it happened, Kevin Adams wasn't a big fan. I don't know. I just don't understand.
They should stop doing things they're not big fans of.
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't. Reimer signed a PTO with the Leafs.
Right.
Why didn't they sign Reimer to a PTO with the Sabres? I don't get it. He loved playing for the Sabres. He was so excited when the Sabres reclaimed him from Anaheim, even though that he claims that he didn't know that. He was rather surprised and put off when he was put on waivers. Still wanted to come back, liked playing here, liked the team. Got a lot of games near the end of the season. I suppose they might have asked him and he might have said no. That would have been the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto's where he started, right? I don't know if maybe his wife is from there. Who knows what could go into it.
Or offer Gorgiev a PTO, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why you had to put yourself in this spot. I don't know why you had to put yourself in this spot unless they were more worried about – they had to have been more worried about Luukkonen than they let on. I just don't know why they put themselves in this spot.
Well,
and how do you get out of it? Well, you know, who's going to take? You said claim. Who's going to claim him? Anybody could have had Gorgiev right after the middle of September.
Well, so nobody's claiming him. Do you know that there would be a problem sending him down the way you said that? Because I thought initially when they got him, yes, of course, the Luukkonen injury scare is a reason to do it. But isn't the rest of their goaltending depth all first year pros? So it's Levi and then kids. And I thought maybe Georgiev would be like a buffer for that in Rochester if needed. So I don't know. I don't even want to say, I don't even care if he likes it or not. Whatever, send him down there.
Well, I'm sure there had to have been some sort of agreement for him to sign. I mean, Lindy Ruff had to talk to him before he signed. Oh, you know, they had a chat. I mean, Lindy Ruff was the assistant coach with the New York Rangers when he was there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe promises were made or whatever the case. And you could go a couple of different ways there. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to trade Georgiev. I suppose you possibly could be able to trade Lyon.
No.
But is it crazy that you might trade Luukkonen? I mean, you could look into that too if you wanted to and go with the two veterans this year if you'd like, because you did draft Lehtinen in the second round saying he was the best goaltender to be drafted and he's going to be your guy. Probably he or Retzlaff backing up Levi. You know, he's in North America now. So, and if you really, really, if Kevin Adams is being straight up and he really, really believes that Levi is going to be a National Hockey League goaltender, is it crazy to think that you could make a trade for Luukkonen?
I'm just so unhappy with this conversation right now. Now, I'm not blaming you. Like, you're just telling me what I don't know. I jokingly said we were talking about first NHL coach to be fired odds, and I said Lindy, they're going to have too good a year for Lindy to get fired, and I was half kidding when I said it. So I wasn't entirely being facetious. And this conversation is just
doesn't Adams get fired before Lindy?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think either one gets fired because Terry Pagula loves them both.
Right. I feel stuck in the mud. Let's change the subject from the goalies. I don't think they're going to trade Luukkonen. I'm not trading Alex Lyon. I got him to back up Luukkonen because I thought I could trust him. Georgiev is not any good. I'm pretty confident of that. And putting any faith in him, I think, would be a disaster. So I want him in Rochester ASAP. I may not get my wish. I'm yelling I'm barking at the moon here, Paul. in this case, you are the moon, and now it's awkward. Anyway, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline with me here on WGR. How about injuries, the rest of it, right? Samuelson, Greenway, Kulik. There's a mix of guys that, and Owen Power was new on that list today, too, right?
Yeah, Owen Power, he pulled minor something yesterday. He's day-to-day. Lindy didn't seem too concerned. I did see Byram was on the ice over at Harbor Center doing his thing.
That's another one I left out, yeah.
Greenway was over on the ice doing his thing over there. They're hoping to get him back in practice within the next week or so. Byram, it doesn't sound like he's hugely far away. Samuelson sounds like he might be the farthest in a week-to-week. Noah Oslund, I forgot about him. I noticed when they put out who went down to Rochester, he wasn't on the list. And then I forgot that, well, wait a minute, he's not on the list. He's also not at Sabres practice. And he is a week-to-week injury also, but he was skating with Byram and those guys over there today. So when he's okay, I think he goes down to Rochester. I think that's just a housekeeping.
Right.
I'll mention it that he's not healthy and not in Rochester yet. And Kulik, I chatted with him today. He's fine.
Okay.
He practiced today. He's fine. He was just a couple of days that he was out, and he's back out there ready to go.
As far as the decor goes, then, if we assume Byram and
Power
are back, thank you. Samuelson's longer term, so that's a no go for opening night. What do my pairs look like without Samuelson? Like, who slides into that spot? Is that Ryan Johnson? He's still here, right? And yeah. Zach Jones went back to Rochester.
Yeah, he cleared waivers.
Okay.
So he they didn't bring him back or anything, so he's still down there. Komarov is up here, and I think basically he's looked good in camp, and I think it's a reward for looking good because Lindy didn't want to have the odd guy. You know, let's have pairs. So he had a right-handed shooting defenseman. He can stay for a little while longer with the NHL club, maybe get a game here in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't expect he's going to be on the roster when it's all said and done. But I think it's just a reward to, hey, kid, you look pretty good in camp. We're going to keep you here, let you practice and keep you here, maybe throw you in a game. If you're going to throw him in a game, he's probably going to play Friday. I think there would be a massive call-up for Friday's game anyway.
Okay.
I think it's probably Johnson. You know, I think he's ahead of, he's the one that's been playing with Timmins in the last couple of practices, not Bryson. So, Lindy has talked about Johnson and how much he's improved and what he's been doing. So, I think he's bowled his way towards the roster. I mean, they've always said if a player shows up and he acts like he's supposed to be on the team, Johnson has done that, and now he's practicing with the big group. He has not been practicing except the last 2 days, so they've kind of brought him up to the big group, and he's earned it the way he's played and the way he's practiced. So, good for him. And, yeah, if the season were to start tomorrow, I think definitely. I'm glad I was wrong just now, by the way. I'll tell you in a second. I think definitely, he will get the call there.
You thought Judge was going to strike out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, he singled.
I said,
through
oh,
the,
good. Now I get to watch Judge play about as small as he could possibly play for the rest of
two,
the rest.
Two
of the
singles
season.
To left field to lead off the bottom of the first. The Red Sox went in order in the top of the first, and the Yanks have got runners on first and second
but
with nobody out.
Judge is in the postseason, Ben.
Yep.
I think your batting average is better than his in the postseason.
Paul, so, I don't have a batting average because I'm not a baseball player. So how have Power and Kesselring looked together to you when you've had a chance to see them in these couple of games they played together?
Pretty good. I mean, Power still, there was a goal scored with him. Basically, I suppose it was better coverage than I've seen. I mean, he was with the guy. They were actually touching, but he didn't tie him up enough to prevent the goal. I'm like, okay, no, I'm not happy with that. That's not good enough. But as far as the two of them playing together, the first time they were together, I don't even think they were in the defensive zone. Mm-hmm. They played really, really well in that game. And they basically, every time they were on the ice, they were in the offensive zone. Because I remember thinking, when I was writing my article after the game to talk about, it's like, I really can't talk about their breakouts because they really didn't have to break the puck out. They weren't in their own zone all that
right.
much.
Yeah.
So I think it's gone fairly well. It's tough with the preseason again because of the competition. When they're together and playing with the regular Sabres, they're not playing the regular other team. And so I just don't want to make too big of a judgment until I see the regular season, what's going to happen there.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline with me for just a couple of more minutes here on WGR. So when we get to it, and I assume, by the way, I'm asking you about Kesselring and Power, Dahlin and Byram, everyone healthy, like that's the top pair, right?
It seems like. And now when Byram didn't practice, they put Kesselring with Dahlin,
mm-hmm.
and they put Mertka with Power.
That's the other. I'm glad you mentioned him. I was going to move on, and go ahead, finish your thought.
But I think Lindy, he's been adamant. It's like, you guys think that this is going to, he goes, yeah, they're going to play together some, and everybody's going to play with everybody. And, he keeps chirping on that you guys got to get off this Power with Kesselring all year long type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to play together some, but, if we need a goal, then the pairs will be different. If we really need to defend, then the pairs will be different. And, so he's been kind of on that. And then, as I said, he put Dahlin with Kesselring once Byram wasn't out there.
Is there any chance here at this point, in your opinion, that Mertka sees a regular season game or two? Or is he just going to go back they're just riding him out through the preseason here.
They could. They might want to expose him to that. I think, as I recall, I haven't looked it up. I believe the last one to do that was Reinhardt, and I think he got 8 games. And then I remember him getting sent down, and I remember Tim Murray saying Reinhardt was in his office crying that he was being sent to junior after. So that I think that might have been the last time they've gone that route of letting you know somebody play before they go to junior. So they might give him that opportunity, but he's a right-handed shooting defenseman, and I think they're pretty staunch on it's going to be, you know, Dahlin, the right side is going to be Dahlin, Kesselring, and Timmons. That doesn't mean he can't go to Rochester. That doesn't mean there might be some of the injuries that leak into the regular season and give him an opportunity.
Can he go to Rochester? I didn't.
Yes, he can.
Oh, he can. Thank you. That's a huge development.
Because last year
he played in Europe
less than half the year.
Okay.
In Seattle, he was in Europe. He started in Europe, and that's where he was. So that's the difference. So yes, he can go to Rochester. I
you're not sure if that's a good idea.
I just don't think it's a good idea, and I've really liked him, but he's made some, like the Detroit game. You know, he scored a goal. And then, you know, on Kane's goal, he got schooled behind the net by DeBrincat. Now, DeBrincat's a good offensive player. You know, it's not an embarrassment by any means that he got schooled back there. But not only did he get schooled, then he tried to scramble to get over to Kane to stop the play, and he fell down. It's like, all right, there's 18 years old right there. You know, you know, that's – but there have been a lot of good plays too. But there have been a lot of 18-year-old plays, and I just think – I just think he'd be better served in Seattle, playing a lot, you know, probably over 25 minutes a game in all situations, you know, probably in dominating fashion. I just think, you know, they're not in a position where they really need him this year to put a green 18-year-old rookie in there. I don't think they need to do that. So if it were me, I would put the 18-year-old defenseman in Rochester. It was difficult enough for a guy like Hellenius, who played as an 18-year-old as a forward. It took him over half the year to really, really catch on and play well. And it's harder for defensemen to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he can't do it or whatever, but I don't know. I just think he'd be better in Seattle.
Okay. Well, that's a big development. I'm glad that you made it known that he is eligible to go. To Roch, if that's because I thought with his age he'd be stuck in juniors, that old thing where you can't send the guy, he's too good for juniors, can't
go
to the
NHL. He would have started in junior, that's different.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. We got less than 2 minutes here, Paul. I saw you have a piece on Norris, and it's been talked about a lot during these games that I've been watching, how he had a healthy offseason, not rehabbing an injury. Just the cliff notes on Norris right now.
Well, I think he wetted the fans' whistle a little bit with a 3-point game against the Red Wings. You know, a goal and 2 assists, and he came as advertised, played well, and you know, looked the part, I think. And the thing about him is it's not all offense. He can play both ways. He can play well defensively. He's a penalty killer, and it sounds like you know, when I was watching, they were practicing the penalty kill yesterday, and he was one of the pairs out there. So, you know, I think he will be on the penalty kill for them. I believe he was out there with Doan, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, the winning of faceoffs. I mean, Thompson scored a goal. Why? Who won the faceoff to him into the circle, and he just ripped it right off the faceoff, and it's in the net. It took about 2 seconds for the puck to win the draw and get the puck into the net. And I really think that alone, I think, helps the power play, because now you're set up. Now, you didn't lose the draw. It goes down. Well, the Sabres sometimes have trouble getting the puck into the other end. And then, you know, we got stopped at the blue line. We got to retreat again. Stopped at the blue line. Well, you just killed a minute and a half of your power play because you didn't win the faceoff. If you win the faceoff, you're set up and you're ready to go. And there's more power play time, and I think he'll help with that.
All right, Paul, thanks for this. We'll visit again tomorrow with it being a game night.
Okay.
All right, that's our Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. His appearance is here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres played last night. They lost to Pittsburgh. A couple things that happened along the way. There are two things that happened in this game. If you didn't watch it, it's fine. Here are the two things you need to care about from last night's Sabres game. We got plenty of Bills coming up. We'll talk to Paul about the Sabres. We'll talk to Sal about the Bills and the Patriots. But the things that happened in that game last night. One, Josh Norris looks legitimately like a really good hockey player.
Yep.
And that's huge. And then the other thing is the only thing that we didn't want to happen, which is UPL left the game hurt.
Yeah,
it is the worst thing, not the worst, but of all the things that could have happened, like, oh, Lukanen's going to play. All right, I hope he's feeling better. Let's see. He leaves after one period.
Yeah.
And the worst part of it was, Joe, we don't even get to come in today and say, well, you know, maybe it was scheduled. Maybe he's just a light. No, out again, hurt, not returning to the game.
Yeah, no, they announced it.
Yep.
Yeah.
He will not return, lower body injury, and your opening night goaltender is Alex Lyon.
And we're right back to, okay, well, this is maybe why they signed Alex Georgiev.
Yes.
Like, why were they in a spot where, hey, you got three goalies again. That's not ideal. Why'd you do that? Because UPL's injury is maybe, like, was a real scare.
Yeah, because they didn't really know what
they
to expect.
Know.
This is, Elliot Friedman had reported that the Sabres signed Georgiev and gave him a little bit more than the minimum because they needed to make it happen.
Yep.
Because they really didn't know what was going to happen with Lukanen. And they're not worried, but they don't know. One of those kind of things. Well, I don't know if they're more worried, but now they know that 8 days before the season, he's not available.
Right.
Then that's tough. So here we are. Alex Lyon, who you think might be their best shot at having a good goaltender.
I do. Like, I'm more optimistic for him than I am for Lukanen this year.
Okay.
Just looking at the numbers from recent years. He did drive a team to the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yes, the Florida Panthers. He had a save percentage of .914.
Yep, he actually begun that playoff run for them.
Okay.
Bobrovsky came in, I think, not too long after. But, yeah, no, I'm it's just goalies, right? It's a dart throw at a couple of goalies, one of which has been, I think, better more recently, which is Lyon, and then Georgiev, who's been better probably years back. And the odds that one of those two gives them better goaltending than the likes of Eric Comrie or going back even Lukanen in some of these years, like, I don't think it's really that unreasonable. Sure, I think your best chance is Lukanen and Lyon together, but I don't think it's impossible that Lyon just shows up and, like, yeah, I'm a goalie that you're able to start 50 games this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm at the website. This is how you know hockey season's around the corner. I'm at Money Puck, looking at last year's goals saved above expected. And Lyon comes in 32nd, which to be number 32 is not to be great.
And I think last year was a down year a little bit for him.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. His goals saved above expected per 60 was 32nd in the league. Lukanen is 50th.
Yep.
And the other Sabres goaltenders, if I'm finding them, I don't know if anybody's in the top 60. So goals saved above expected per 60. Reimer was actually 14th in the league. How about that? James Reimer.
Last, if you go for the last 3 years total, Lupkinen's played 142 games. He's 2.9 goals saved above expected. And Lyon has played 89 games and is 17 goals saved above expected.
So he's been more reliable.
In the last three seasons, at least. Yeah.
All right.
And that does include that Florida run for him where he got really, really hot.
Hey, they want to be better defensively. Meanwhile, four of the six defensemen are hurt.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's not ideal.
Kesselring left. He's day-to-day. He's the new guy they got from Utah in the Paterka trade. He's day-to-day, not something to be too concerned about.
Byram, though, has been day-to-day, and Power is day-to-day.
Everybody's hurt.
Samuelson, we don't know. I don't think we know.
Maybe they are just doing the thing where it's the preseason and everybody, oh, you got the littlest thing? Like, let's get you out of there.
That's what I would hope for, because otherwise, like, I was starting to get to where you, I think, have been, which is, like, I'm warming a little bit on their chances. There's a line in the West Wing where President Bartlett tells Charlie, like, you know how I know the forest fire is going to grow and the weather's going to get worse? He's like, why? Because smart people told me.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about the Sabres right now. Like, I did not like their offseason at all. But every day, it's like, why am I warming on the Sabres? Because smart people are telling me that I probably should be warming on the Sabres' chances. I saw another Evolving Wild, another, like, stats analytic hockey site. Today tweeted, like, yeah, I'm plugging in my projections and I'm bullish on the Sabres. From Jay Fresh Hockey from Elite Prospects, like,
okay.
I'm projecting the Sabres are going to make the playoffs.
How much
Adam Lecision from The Athletic said this week that he thinks this is the best chance the Sabres have had in 10 years to make the playoffs.
How much of that is not them, but the division is actually looking like it could be cracked?
I think it's a little of both. Because isn't projecting the Sabres for 92 points feel like, oh, a little bold take there, huh?
Yeah.
Sabres at 92 points. 92 points isn't usually playoff pace, right? It's usually right below it.
Yep.
But this year, if the Atlantic is bad, then that's more in play, I think. So I do think that is a factor, yes. That Boston is now terrible. That Toronto, I really think, could take a step back, and they lose Marner. And Florida's got these injuries. Yeah, like it's definitely part of it is the division. The division has been the best division, I think, in hockey history. You can make that argument for the last 10 years.
Fair enough, yeah.
How couldn't you? It's been the same five teams every single year. They always go to the cup, right? The cup.
Florida, Tampa, Boston.
Yeah, it's I think it's 7 years in a row that the Atlantic team has represented the East in the finals. And how many times have they won it? It's been a lot of them. So the division's been incredible. And this might be the first year in a long time that isn't true.
92 points, huh? Last time they got over 90 was Granato's year that got them 1 point out, which was 91. And the previous 90-point season for the Sabres was the last time they made the playoffs with 96.
Mm-hmm.
They also won the division with 100. Remember the wire-to-wire divisional year where Miller wins the Calder and – or sorry, Miller wins
Vezina
and Myers wins the Calder?
Yep.
That's only 100 points. It is kind of funny how the difference between 92 and 100 is wire-to-wire division winner at 100, 92, we'll see if you make it. That's 8 points. So what's the difference there? Saves. Back to the point about Lukanen. I don't know if Lukanen's going to be good. And anybody that watched last night and saw him leave and say, well whatever, I'm not sure he's good anyway.
Right.
I think the point is he's a kick at the can. And
yeah,
NHL goalies, and I can believe that whether it's Lyon or Lukanen, that one of those two might be ready, or one and a half of them might be good enough. But if Lukanen's out of the picture, my backup is Levi or Georgiev, and that's just that feels like more of a gamble, even though Lukanen himself might be a bit of a gamble.
Right, and I don't think they want Levi back in the NHL, not for at least a while at the start of the year. So. We'll see. How long is he out? What type of injury is it? Is there surgery involved? You hope not. Because although I like Lyon, I definitely felt more comfortable being bullish on Lyon with Lukanen's presence also being there. That he can take on a good amount of the starts. That he's also a possibility to take a step from last season and be able to play 40 to 50 games. But now that it's like, well, Lyon better do it. Like, it went from, I think it's kind of, there's a chance Lyon does it, to even maybe there's a good chance Lyon does it, and I've got Lukanen in there, to now it's, okay, Lyon has to do it. He has to. Because otherwise, I'm feeling pretty, it's unlikely they're going to be a 90-point team if he doesn't do it and Lukanen's hurt. Because Georgiev, even last night, right, they're playing AHL guys, and that did not look great for him. No. So I'd be very skeptical of their chances if he's got to play a lot of meaningful games this year. Could be wrong. I mean, it was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago that he wasn't bad in Colorado, but if you look, seen what he's looked like in his last like 80 starts, it's really bad.
Sure. I mean, this is picking up a defensive end a week before the season and being like, we need him to go in. Like, I wouldn't expect too much out of this guy. You know, like anybody that's available with all these camps and extended rosters who's looking for a spot. I mean, maybe this is Rasul Douglas. Maybe this is Amari Cooper.
They could have brought Reimer back.
That's right.
Well, maybe they could have. Toronto just signed him to a PTO or something. But
sure, sure. But if you're out there looking for a job, I'm not going to have much faith in you. There are exceptions to that, but whatever.
But this is part, like, you saying the other day, like, I think they'll be good. If who's going to get the saves? That's a big question.
Somebody's got to.
Somebody's got to get saves, and here we are again with that, right? At post-Ullmark leaving, it's just somebody give me saves. And it really hasn't happened other than 40-year-old Craig Anderson for a couple of weeks.
I had the thought yesterday, which contract, if you could push a button and make it go away, would you get rid of? Lukanen or Samuelson?
Hmm.
Which is the worst contract to have signed? They signed both of them very quickly.
Yeah.
Off of not a lot of data, but they just bet on it.
Right.
Lukanen had one good year, and it was 5 years, $25 million. Samuelson had, what, 50 games?
Yeah, it wasn't even a full season.
And 7 years.
Yep.
Which one's worse?
It's hard to say Samuelson isn't worse, because I think his was longer, and also he is just
a shell of what they believed?
And he actively hurts them on the ice.
And you think that Lukanen could, you know, get hot?
Basically.
Right.
Right, like, I can envision, yeah, I'll put it this way, I can envision Lukanen helping them this season. That is feasible. I can't picture Samuelson helping them this season. What is he doing? What is it, he's playing 15 minutes a night on the third pair, and he's doing what? He's being physical and blocking shots. Do we think he'll stay healthy doing that?
No.
Like, I just, the style of defenseman he is, one, again, like, it's, he's not really even that physical, and is not even that much of a mean, tough-nosed defenseman in his own end for being 6'5". And then if he does play that way, I probably expect he's going to get hurt. So I think I'd probably say Samuelson is a worse contract. But those are the worst, too. Hey, you win some, you lose some, right? Like, they did that with Thompson, and it's going to work out to where he's going to be underpaid by $8 million per year, probably.
Maybe Norris will be underpaid, too. I mean, that's a deal that they got a lot of term and money on, and if he's very good.
Yeah.
His goal was pretty nice last night. Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Gets tripped.
Yep.
Goes down. His first goal, I should say. Pretty sweet. Rasmus Dahlin looked like he was playing against 16-year-olds in Sweden.
I did. I'm like, are we going to, is this going to be the Angels where, like, oh, wow, wait till you see, tell your buddies the next day, you got to see the goal Dahlin scored last night. He cut through everybody, scored, and Sabres lost 5-3.
Oh, right, right. The old, what is it?
It was like
Tungsten Arm O'Doyle or something, the Mike Trout tweet, the Otani.
Yes, Otani broke a record from 1898. Trout went 3-for-4 with 2 home runs, and the Angels lost 5-2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be our lives. We'll see. The opener's a week from today. You said you're getting bullish
on them. I'm getting bullish.
I think you could be bullish on them having a competitive and fun season. That'd be nice. It's been a while since we had one of those. Jason Bottrell is long gone. He said meaningful games in March, and they had those once. They had those once, and they played Devin Levi in all of them, pretty much. Right? That was the most excited I feel like we've been about the Sabres for a while, because they had a stretch run, and they kept leaning on him. He was amazing down that stretch, and now he can't get back in their net. So,
well, 6 of their first 8 at home, by the way. So get off to a good start. You don't have to go to Europe this year. You don't have to go out west, and you got some of those division teams that you mentioned. They play Boston early, Ottawa, Florida, Montreal, and Detroit, all in the first 2 weeks, and then Toronto. So actually, do they play everybody in their division in the first week and a half of the season? Boston, Ottawa, Florida, Toronto, Detroit and Montreal. They play everyone with Tampa in the first 2 weeks. So you want to be good in this division.
There's one to avoid.
You play everybody early.
803-0550. If you want to, you know, fire us anything on the Sabres. The goal song, I don't know if they'll announce the winner or we'll have to wait for the first goal.
They set it in the, I think, the release for like all the activities on opening night, like they do the blue and gold carpet or whatever. I think in there it said that
the debut of the goal song.
They'll unveil the goal song, because I then immediately saw the joke of now they're going to get shut out 2-0 by the Rangers, and sure, we're not going to find out what the goal song was.
Right, are you going to tell people what it is before they score, or are you going to wait until the goal actually happens?
They're waiting until the goal actually happens,
okay.
I think.
Yeah. Respectfully. Mistake? Just tell people. Because if you're waiting for it to be revealed, what happens when it's 3-0 Rangers late in the third, and not even get shut out, you just, you know, pitch one in with 12:35 to go?
Like, then the goal song is played.
Oh, all right, great. Tell everybody beforehand.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good first impression.
Just tell everybody beforehand. That would be my advice. Whatever it is, fine. Pick it beforehand. Jeremy and Joe, good morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.